I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Good evening. We begin tonight with breaking news. We have obtained what is expected to be a central piece of the government's case against Donald Trump. The actual audio recording of the former president talking as if he's showing a highly classified document on U.S. war plans against Iran, with people not clear to even know it exists, let alone what's in it. In a moment, only on CNN, you will hear what jurors will hear one day. The recording was made two summers ago, July 2021, at the former president's club in Bedminster, New Jersey. You will clearly hear the former president as he is speaking to several people. According to the special counsel's indictment, they include a writer working on Mark Meadows' memoir, the publisher, and two of Trump's staff members. The president was aware he was being recorded.
And there you have it, as is introduced last night by CNN, Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper. We have a tape. We have the audio tape of Trump talking to people while he was being taped and aware he was being taped about clandestine information, top secret information he was not supposed to be sharing with the American public or anyone in that room because they did not have security clearance. Now, we got a lot of avenues to go down here. Let's begin by setting the stage. We are June 27, 2023. During the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday, we do have live streaming. You can always join us in that noon live streaming. And, of course, enjoy the 6 o'clock hour as you are. But what we have going on right now, you don't want to miss watching the noon live and the 6 o'clock. Because there's going to be a lot of things maybe happening behind the scenes you won't see unless you're watching the Rumble. You go to rumble.com, enter Larry Connors USA, or News Talk STL. We appear on both platforms. Glad to have you watching whatever way you can. So, I have a question. Wonder how CNN got hold of this tape that's going to be played before the jury. The tape that supposedly is in the hands of the prosecutor that's overseeing the case, Jack Smith, that's handling this case down in Miami, doing everything they can to put Trump behind jail and keep these charges against him as he's running for president. Wonder how they would have gotten that. Oh, silly me, I'm sorry. I forgot how the state-controlled media and the Trump opposition, Democrat progressives, are hand in glove on anything they need to share and make sure gets exposure. Not hard at all, is it? And it also gives CNN and other state-controlled media another road away from the Biden scandal story. Absolutely perfect.
The president was aware he was being recorded. This is the first time it is being played publicly.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know, against you.
That's, well, it started right at the
beginning.
Like
when Millie's talking about, oh, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him.
So this was apparently Trump in that section then, waving around some documents in front of these people. Two of them there to do biographies, reference Mark Meadow, two staffers, and maybe others as well. Don't know Mark Meadows was in the room. Now, of course, this is in contradiction to what Trump had been saying, or is it? Is it a combination of both? You know you can have cases where something is true and it also can be false, depending on which way you're looking at it and depending on which facts you put with it or you omit. I didn't run the red light, officer. It was yellow when I went through it. You went through yellow, but as you were crossing, it went red. Did you run a red light? Technically, you did. Also, technically, no, I didn't. If it had been red, I wouldn't have gone through. It's what my dad used to say, that light's a little stale. Yellow getting ready to go to red. You know that's the next one coming up. But I want to give you the perspective as provided by The Hill, which is primarily a liberal publication covering events on The Hill. And they're also doing, in this case, reporting on what happened with MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell, I should say, and referencing former federal prosecutor Andrew Weissman. And he said, in listening to that tape, Trump showing and discussing documents he had in his possession, according to Andrew Weissman, former federal prosecutor, this is game over.
This totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Except it is like highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information. But look at this. You attack. And
Hillary would print that out all the time, you know.
She'd send it to Anthony Weiner, the pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what?
He's in the papers.
This was done by the military, given to me. I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure out a.
See, as president, I could have declassified it. But now I can't, you know, but this is.
Yeah, now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That one line might be what the prosecution tries to hang everything on. And Trump saying, and I'll quote from the audio, when I was president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't. So that's what Andrew Weissman, former federal prosecutor, is probably pointing to when he said, game over. He said, there's no doubt that Jack Smith, the special counsel looking into this, has interviewed everyone in the room anyway. And the big picture is, for everyone, the game is over if you're following facts and law. Of course, we only follow the facts and law when we're going after Trump. Biden, that's an entirely different system of justice. We know that. I'll go back to that later. Caitlin Collins, the CNN legal correspondent, puts her spin on it.
We knew about this. You know, CNN first reported that this existed and that Jack Smith's prosecution had it in their hands. But to hear it, I think, really just drives home. And it undercuts everything that Trump has been saying. I mean, even as of a few days ago, he was saying there was no document per se. But you can hear him very clearly in there referencing something in his hands.
You can hear him shuffling through papers.
And he's not just saying, here's this document. He very clearly appears to be showing it to them.
He says, look.
Only the people in the room can know that, but you can hear in that why this is so critical to Jack Smith's case, because it's Trump acknowledging, I have this document. It is secret. It is classified. I cannot declassify it now because he's 6 months out of office. And it's just remarkable to hear him actually saying it.
Now, an interesting point inside that bit, you heard Anderson Cooper actually ask a legitimate question. Could they see it? Or basically, was he just waving documents, claiming what it was? Could they actually see what it was? And her answer was, only the people in the room could really say. We talked about this before. Just because he's waving a folder and claiming this is what it is and saying here's what, it doesn't mean it's what he claims it is. I'm not trying to make excuses. If he did it in that fashion, there are questions to be answered. But then again, who knows how far this is going to go? Of course, the question again is, how did they get the tape? Well, we know how they got the tape. They're just not going to say, and I would agree, as a reporter, you don't want to give away your sources. But once again, Anderson Cooper.
There is that moment where he says, you know, that these are the papers and you can hear them. And I want to play that again because it's instructive to actually kind of visualize what he's doing. Let's play this.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it, and you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what?
He's in the papers.
This was done by the military, given to me.
That wasn't in the indictment. That part of it, I think, was not in the indictment. Why do you think that is?
It's unclear. What he's talking about there, that he, for people who aren't watching it super closely, is Chairman Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he's basically saying, this is proof that he wanted to attack Iran, not me. We should note that the document that is in question here, we are told it was predated Milley. It wasn't actually something that he produced. But it speaks to something that we've heard, you know, the former national security officials in Trump's orbit talk about, which is this is not just any kind of information, any kind of document. This is the nation's secrets, which don't just change on a daily basis. You don't just come up with a new attack plan for Iran, that he is just brandishing proudly to random people in the room. These are random autobiographers who are working for Mark Meadows that are in the room. They don't have security clearances that he's showing this to. And I just think, I think this audio changed a lot about the way that Trump's legal team viewed this case. They told me, and Paula and I and our other colleague Kayla, we've been covering this for months, we had heard they weren't worried about this investigation, that they had this argument that, you know, he just took what he had with him. It wasn't nefarious. He's trying to use that now, saying it's just golf clippings. You can see there, he knows exactly what he has. Mm. He knows that it's not declassified. It's his own words.
Really? His own words? How about the words of Joe Biden? Never had anything to do with my son's business. How about the written words by text on Hunter Biden's laptop? I've got more on that angle coming up a little bit later. But first, the confusion in Russia and maybe the White House.
President Biden trying to distance the United States and U.S. allies from the Wagner Group's failed coup attempt in Russia. Watch this.
We had to make sure we gave Putin no excuse. Let me emphasize, we gave Putin no excuse to blame this on the West or to blame this on NATO. We made clear that we were not involved. We had nothing to do with it. This was part of a struggle within the Russian system. It's still too early to reach a definitive conclusion about where this is going.
Vladimir Putin addressed his country yesterday, slamming the organizers for betraying Moscow, saying, quote, they wanted Russian soldiers to kill each other. They wanted peaceful civilians and military personnel to die so that in the end, Russia is defeated.
Again, Maria Bartiromo on what was happening yesterday referenced Russia, or today added points, and of course with Putin and the Wagner leader still not being seen. Retired General Jack King had his reaction.
Certainly it was a stunning surprise to see a mutiny against Putin and his government, and equally stunning was the premature withdrawal of the so-called mutiny. I mean, Prigozhin, I think we know at the Institute for Study of War why he did it, because Putin ordered that the Minister of Defense should take charge of the Wagner Group and should report to him, and Prigozhin wanted no part of that because he would lose political and military influence. And they also told him that they would not permit him to recruit prisoners anymore. So he saw the value of Wagner decreasing, and it was going to impact him financially as well. I think that's what motivated him to move. But then he wavered because he didn't get the support, Maria, that he was expecting from the generals, at least some of the generals, inside the Russian military.
And that might well have been because the story is coming out, which would be expected. The Kremlin immediately started threatening the families of the Wagner leaders. In other words, Prigozhin was hearing from his own generals in command, hey, they made it clear they're going to target my family. I can't continue. You may have all the zeal and zest in the world to go after and destroy something, but when it's coming after your family in your absence, there's got to be a reconsideration. Now, also, Prigozhin has indicated, we were never really going to attack Russia. We were just simply marching on. It was meant to be a protest. And then when the president of Belarus came in, said, I helped negotiate a peace. Prigozhin can come to Belarus and stay there and vacation for a while. He hasn't been seen. And some are questioning, is he possibly going to use Belarus, adjacent to Russia, as an opportunity to amass troops again and go against the Kremlin, Putin, directly again? A lot of this is unclear. The intel, by the way, we have known, and that's one thing that's very different here. We apparently had the intel that was going to happen, but the Russians didn't. But right now, Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, says, look at it from Putin's view, reference Ukraine, and Prigozhin's view.
Putin started this war thinking it would be over in 5 days. It would never touch the lives of people in Moscow. It's touching the lives of people in Moscow big time now. And he hasn't been able to now hold on to this fiction. If I were Prigozhin, I'd be careful about open windows, and I'd be careful about anything that might taste slightly metallic. Putin will not, I think, let Prigozhin live for terribly long, because he remains a threat as long as he's alive.
Yeah, even if he's in Belarus, nothing is metallic tasting, nothing that tastes like almonds. Somebody else starts my car, you know that deal. Don't stand near open windows. Coming up, The View mocking evangelical Christians. Maybe God is not on your side. Plus, Hunter Biden's deposition, what should he be asked under oath? Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. This Thursday, Hunter Biden is to be deposed under oath. And what question should he be asked? Well, my guest, Margo Cleveland, legal senior correspondent for The Federalist, raised that very issue. Margo, glad to have you back on board.
Oh, thanks so much, Larry.
Let me go through a couple things before we get into your actual questions for Hunter Biden, and just so we have a clear understanding. And I believe I know, but obviously you're the legal source. First of all, can you plead the fifth in discovery? I thought you possibly could, but you then be stuck with that answer if you did.
Right. So if you refuse to answer a question in civil cases, there is a presumption that what you would say could be used against you. And I think Hunter would also have the added problem that he supposedly has just resolved his only outstanding issues. So I think he'd have a problem there with anyone buying that he fears criminal jeopardy.
Okay.
But lawyers have a really good way of their client pleading the fifth, which is they just can't seem to recall anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's another way around. Like Hillary did, I hit my head, and you remember, but I can't remember things. The other question is, and again, I think I know, but you're the source. could the deposition be made public record?
It could. Right now, there is a confidential order that is keeping this type of information under seal, so it would not be made public yet. But it is something that, and you just gave me an idea of what to do, file a motion to have it released because of the public interest in it. So it also depends on what exactly was asked and answered in the question. So it definitely could be made public, but it would be up to the Delaware State Court to decide whether it will allow that to be released.
Well, you raise a point, and I'd like to make sure we put a hammer on this last issue. The deposition is a legal property of the lawyer who called you in for the deposition, which would be the government. So, not the court, but they still had to go through the court for the permission to release it.
Well, actually, in this case, the deposition is not by the government. It is by Mac Isaac's attorney. Okay. But they, in this case, have a protective order. And whether it applies and keeps Mac Isaac's attorney from releasing the deposition would be something that the court would have to decide. And Hunter Biden, of course, his legal team is going to strenuously object to that being released.
All right. Let's just jump into questions then. He's going to be facing probably hours of questioning, and all under oath, so it's subject to perjury. What would you like to see you think should be asked to begin with?
Well, obviously, we need the bottom line. If this was his laptop, and did he sign this repair contract in which he agreed that he was abandoning the laptop, the equipment, and that he was going to hold harmless Mac Isaac for any harm or damage? But the lawyers have been basically running interference and preventing Hunter from having to answer the question. When he was interviewed, he, pulled the "I don't remember," which I fully expect that to happen here.
Right.
But difference.
I was coked out. Please. I was coked out. I don't remember. I was on drugs.
Right. Right. Which is kind of interesting. So you drove a car while you were too high to remember anything twice. So that seems like it would be a nice follow-up question, because if he got there, as is assumed, that he had to have gotten there by being driven, unless someone took him. So that's not going to look good. But the thing is, the attorney doesn't have to leave it there. He can do follow-up questions. Well, here's a picture. Does this look familiar? Have you ever been in this part of Delaware before? Well, did you have a laptop? Have you lost laptops before? And at a certain point, no one believes that you can't remember if you've been in a certain part of Delaware. Does this signature look familiar to you? Does this look like your signature? If we have an expert who says this is your signature, would you have a reason to disagree with it? So all of those can go into trying to establish that the laptop was Hunter Biden, that he dropped it off at Mac Isaac's store, that he signed this contract. But his attorneys are going to be trying to throw some curveballs in here.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear to the audience, we are talking about a civil case by the laptop owner on a defamation case, actually, against Hunter because of things have been said, right? So
correct.
There's nothing that will be asked of Hunter regarding details on the laptop, text about monies, the big guy, things of that nature, or would there?
There would be, and this is where I think Hunter Biden's attorneys may have made a strategic error. What they did is they went on the offensive and turned around and sued Mac Isaac, claiming that Mac Isaac had infringed on Hunter Biden's privacy rights by sharing this data. But the question is, where did the data come from? Because if it came from this laptop, then we go back to what the contract said. And the contract said that Hunter Biden would hold Mac Isaac harmless for any injury or damage caused by his property. So if it was on the laptop and it was disclosed, Hunter arguably agreed that he would not sue Mac Isaac or hold him responsible for it. So this is where we need to get. were these documents on the laptop? If they weren't, and you're saying Mac Isaac, you know, peddled them around, that's a different issue. So I think that there is going to be, definitely there's going to be questioning on it, but lawyers are really good at making it impossible to do your job in getting the truth by making objections.
Right. Now, objection. Yeah, we've seen that in court movies, right? You're listening to Margo Cleveland of the Federalist. In our closing minutes here, you do ask one question. What material, Mr. Hunter, do you maintain is not authentic? Now, that, to me, is a big question.
Absolutely. And that's where I think his attorneys are going to try to avoid it and say, well, he doesn't have to answer that question because you definitely released some documents that were authentic and that infringed on his privacy. And that's, again, where I go back to. But if it was on the laptop, Hunter Biden signed this document and he said he wouldn't hold Mac Isaac responsible. So that's where they have to come and say what was authentic. I would virtually guarantee you, though, we're not going to have the answers by the end of Thursday because, well, the lawyers will not have the answers by the end of Thursday because they will tell Hunter not to answer the question, and it's going to have to go to the judge.
If the judge directs him, you must answer?
That's correct.
I don't remember.
Yes, if the judge directs him, then he will have to do his answer of, I don't remember, I don't recall, I haven't looked at all the documents, I can't tell you for sure yet.
How can this deposition be used for any criminal investigation of Hunter, and supposedly he's resolved his tax issues, but other criminal issues linking Hunter, Joe Biden, and things of that nature? Can any of this deposition be used to that extent?
Oh, absolutely. And because it is under oath, it would be something that would be very credible evidence to confirm that certain documents, emails are authentic. So it definitely could be used in a criminal case. The problem is the DOJ is not about to go and investigate Hunter or Joe Biden. We've seen that with the throwing of the case that they had in Delaware. We've seen that when the confidential human source said that the Burisma owner had tapes of Joe Biden and it was implicated in a $5 million bribe to Joe Biden. And that never got to the Delaware investigators, even though Attorney General Barr sent
it there. It just got lost. It got lost, but at the same time, the audio tape of Donald Trump is suddenly out on CNN and N. Margo Cleveland, as always, great information. Thank you for joining our audience.
Thanks so much, Larry. Take care.
You bet. Margo Cleveland, legal senior editor for The Federalist. Coming up, Christian evangelicals, are you sure God is on your side? Stand by. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Early in the evening,
just about supper time. Over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks a tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Because of the allegations from the IRS, because of the whistleblowers and the DOJ, are Garland, what he is saying and what David Weiss are saying privately are two different things.
Right.
And if it comes true what the IRS whistleblower is saying, we're going to start impeachment inquiries on the Attorney General. Well,
now, that was Speaker Kevin McCarthy this morning related to the conversation we just had, Merrick Garland's testimony. When he was asked about this, the Biden administration just kind of blew it off.
The president respects the Department of Justice independence. He respects the rule of law, and that is what you're going to see under this administration. So I'm not going to speak to anything that is related to that. This is not the main priority of American families.
No, it's not the main priority of American families. It's the main priority of the Biden family. Keep this thing under wraps on everything that we've done wrong during this administration, which started on day one and going all the way back to when Joe Biden was a U.S. Senator. That was, of course, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and on, as you heard also, Laura Ingraham, as she led into the KJP, the White House spokeswoman. They, we're not going to discuss this. We have nothing else to say. Blah, 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 blah. We got that. But again, McCarthy's point, these whistleblowers about the Hunter Biden investigation, he said the whole reason you have the WhatsApp message is because of the work the House Republicans have been doing, not just with Congressman James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, not just with Jim Jordan, the Republican from Ohio, but this was in the Ways and Means under Jason Smith, Republican of Missouri. McCarthy said these are IRS long-term workers who have been through it. They've watched the abuse of power of how Hunter Biden was treated. I mean, they even waited to get the six-year statute of limitations off. They wanted to have a special counsel. And now we're seeing that the DOJ, the Attorney General, declined that, even though he's saying something different. And there's where the break is. And there's a possible perjury and, of course, a possible impeachment case against Attorney General Merrick Garland. Just one of many reasons, I should add. But he continues to say, we're seeing the Attorney General, the DOJ, declining all of this about a special counsel, even though he's saying something different. So now we requested July 6th, by July 6th, look at your calendar, that's coming up fast. You're thinking about July 4th activities and fun. They're not thinking about July 4th. They're thinking about what the hell do we do about July 6th? Because they want, by July 6th, Weiss to come forward and answer those questions. Were you given full and complete authority and never waived off by Merrick Garland? Under oath, sir. Because the whistleblowers, according to McCarthy, said they took copious notes during those meetings. Of course, he then added, McCarthy did, have found the president has lied to us. He said they never dealt with anything in China. Well, these monies that showed up on the WhatsApp that Hunter was sending a text message to a Chinese businessman saying, I'm sitting here with my dad. You don't want to make him mad. You better get that money to us. He's sitting right here. Now, the FBI wants to verify where Joe Biden was in the House. He was in the House at the time. They want to use some location devices and probably look at security cameras and everything else to see, was he actually sitting beside Hunter Biden when he was sending that message, the threat, basically, extortion. And of course, if he did, Joe Biden could say, well, I was nodding off. I don't know what he was sending. I wasn't paying attention. That's a very good and plausible, I should add, excuse. But based off McCarthy's wording and saying that the IRS whistleblowers told Congress last week that the DOJ twice prevented U.S. Attorney David Weiss from bringing stronger charges in two separate locations against Hunter Biden. One of the whistleblowers claims, my allegations can be corroborated by several individuals who have firsthand knowledge of my communications with the federal prosecutor. It's up to him and the Justice Department to reconcile the difference. In other words, to say, who's lying, and it's not me. Garland, of course, the Attorney General, denies the DOJ politically interfered in the investigation of Hunter Biden. Garland said, Weiss has full authority to charge Hunter Biden. Even though Garland did admit to Congress back in March, he was the authority to authorize any potential charges against Hunter Biden. Which is it? That's it. That's the point. We need to know, what's your real story, and are you sticking to that one, or are you changing? I think they're probably considering changing. Talking about impeachment, and then you look at criminal cases, you also have to look at what Senator Tom Cotton is suggesting. And we're going to get to that in our second hour today. The Arkansas senator is saying these U.S. investment groups such as BlackRock are losing and ignoring fiduciary duties to their investors. That could be you in your mutual funds, your pension funds, your labor funds, wherever you have some money stored away, because they're turning away from, because of ESG, anything to do with oil and gas production, maybe gun makers, things of that nature. Not looking at the bottom line and how to improve it for you, but what does that business do? Oh, we don't anything to do with them. Even though they make tons of money, we don't anything to do with them. And in fact, the Arkansas senator says that ESG, environmental social justice, is basically now creating oil cartels inside our nation and outside. But of course, we're not going to be using oil and gas, are we? Not in this nation. The world is getting totally messed up right now with all this woke push. Everything from climate to attacking your children, preying upon them. But you haven't heard the end of how wickedly crazy things are going to go. This story, New York City is now going to impose a big fine on pizzerias if they do not do something to control emissions from their wood-burning pizza ovens by 75%. As one guy said, you got 8 or 9 pizzerias, that's going to destroy the environment? I've got a commentary coming up later in the week on that. And then you also have what New York City is doing. They now have decided if you drive into the Manhattan area, they're going to charge you $23 every day you drive into the Manhattan area. Lord, once you get inside there, do not move your car if you can find a place to park it. And they're saying that we're going to do that. We're going to impose this toll because too much congestion. So they're going to make people park. You got to park outside of the Manhattan area around 60th Street and then walk all the way in. Now, they'll work out something for cabs and limos, I'm sure, and certainly politicians. $23 fine every day. It's like a toll road, but in this case, I'm just trying to go to the city. No, can't do that anymore, unless you want to give us $23 a day. Because we're broke and we need some money. We need to take care of more of the illegals coming to the country. Now, for you Christian evangelicals, and I consider myself one, a question got asked yesterday on The View, is God really on your side?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm being indicted for you, and I believe the you is more than 200 million people that love our country. They're out there, and they love our country.
I enjoy that he's been indicted, so maybe it is for me. I mean, I think that no one is above the law, and he's been indicted in, you know, by the federal government and by the state government as well. But I think that's an interesting spin that he put on it. What was shocking to me was the hypocrisy of the evangelical community, booing at the truth. I mean, we can all have differences of opinions, but the facts remain the same. And he did these things. So it's almost like they were going, la, 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 like little kids. And they're still going to vote for him. Because if you look at the polls, 51% of Republicans say that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And I think it was something like in the 80%, and you could tell me in my ear if I'm wrong, of evangelicals will.
51% of Republicans will still vote for Trump. 80+% evangelicals. That was Sonny Holston of The View. You heard all the laughter after they played Trump's soundbite as he appeared at the Faith and Freedom Foundation Coalition over the weekend. And those remarks, oh, they were mocking it. They were making so much fun of it. And then you had Anna Navarro, who used to consider herself to be a Republican. She never was. Because she also realized, hey, I can make more money by saying I'm Republican, but dissing on Republicans. And Anna Navarro knows more about your religion and God than you.
Why is that shocking at this point? I mean, you know, evangelicals voted for Trump after we saw him attack a disabled person,
yeah.
After we heard him say horrible things about women, after he was accused credibly of sexual harassment and even rape, after we all heard him boasting of sexual assault on video on tape, and they still lined up and voted for him. So at this point, I'm shocked, not shocked. I think this convention, instead of being called Faith and Freedom, should be called Your Faith Takes Away My Freedom.
Yeah.
And
that's wrong. Faith is not taking away anyone's freedom. It's the woke culture that's doing that. And I will tell you this, if Bill Clinton walked into that room, who's obviously been involved in a sexual escapade inside the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky and probably others, they would rush over to shake his hand and embrace him. But for evangelical Christians, how dare you vote for a guy like Donald Trump? Well, you see all these signs at the baseball games, at big campaign, Jesus gets us because Jesus takes care of sinners. But Whoopi Goldberg, she wants to put her own spin on evangelicals, and that might well be you.
The evangelicals are not the evangelicals of my youth.
Yeah.
I've always known evangelicals.
Same. Yeah.
And while we have different roads to God, they're, you know, basically the same roads. But the I don't know who these folks are. The thing about evangelicals that we all have to remember is that they're human beings.
Yes.
They're people and they're flawed like all of us. So, you know, when they wake up and realize that God may not be on their side the way they think they are.
Someone who says
you I'm doing this for you sounds an awful lot like, you know,
the great JC.
Yeah.
The great JC, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life for mankind and your sins. That program, I know you don't watch it. I do it for you. It's dirty and filthy to watch, almost as bad as watching K gay bike riders riding in front of children on Pride Day, month, year. I ask you to remember our pledge, one nation under God.